Good morning.
Good morning, Rob. How are you?
Good. How are you?
I'm great. It's a good way to start right after Labor Day to get back in business here.
Get fired up, right?
Absolutely. Now, were you like in Alaska or something? We do something crazy again, like climbing mountains or something?
Yeah, I was in Alaska. Fly fishing. Back
okay.
In the wilderness. We took a couple of those float planes in there and got
got
some
cool.
Amazing salmon. So it was really fun, yeah.
And nice.
Other guys to go hike the they're in Denali now though. I had to leave them. And they're hiking.
Wow.
Yeah. Hiking for 5 days.
Oh my God. That's awesome. Well, we're excited. Actually I'm gonna introduce Dave Ostrom, who's on the call also.
Hey Rob.
Great, Dave.
Welcome home.
Nice to
welcome
meet
home.
You.
So, let me catch you up, I guess, Rob. I just want to give sort of a recap of, you know, where we were. So, when I first signed up for Supernova, I guess, I don't know, how many years ago was that? But I was probably doing in the sevens range, 750, and I grew my business then to like 1.2 million, you know, reduced the number of clients, and, you know, have a great, you know, I mean, what I enjoy the amount of time that I have, or the lack of reactive stuff. And my assistant Margaret takes care of all the calls, setting them up, and it's been good. But let's face it, the markets have been good. So one of the things what we've done, I don't know how familiar you are, Rob, with UBS and what they've done in the last number of years. They've hired these, you know, new hires, and they come on as WPAs, wealth planning analysts.
Yeah.
So that's where Dave and I met. So Dave was the wealth planning analyst for the Philadelphia region. And because I was a solo practitioner and I was doing, you know, the planning stuff, I would rely on these WPAs to assist me, to help me, everything else like that. So when Dave came on board, him and I clicked immediately. There was something about it. There was something about that we just sort of really connected. And obviously Dave's a very bright guy. He's a Penn State kid too, which didn't hurt. But he has his MBA and he worked at JP Morgan on the investment bank side for a while, and then he came on the wealth man. So anyway, so one of the things of this program is after like 2 years, they look to see who they connect with to try to team up. And it's kind of interesting, Rob, I don't know how you would, but Dave was pretty much a team over in Mount Laurel, New Jersey, a very large team was the person who brought him into the business. And it was looking like that was going to be his landing point when he came out of the WPA program. But I guess because of our connection, we wanted to see if we can continue this. So we actually, the way this is working, I'm teaming up with this other team in Mount Laurel, but really Dave is a conduit. He's working for both of us.
Oh, okay.
So it's a little bit different.
Non-traditional.
Yeah, exactly. This is non-traditional.
Yeah.
So we're still growing my business and we're growing Mark's business separately. But at the same time, we're looking for commonalities where we can bring, but Dave is really the person who is the, his expertise is on the planning side, on the insurance side, and all the other things that, you know, as you know, our wealth management business has, evolved to. So I just wanted to give you that. Dave, did I capture that okay?
Yeah, I think you did a good job. I would say ultimately I'm wearing for the most part the same hat, but you know, working with you know, in a broader group, but ultimately, you know, for Rick and this other advisor Mark, where you know, I'm kind of being the point person for all things planning related, whether it's you know, in regards to you know, retirement planning, education funding, you know, running all the analytics behind it and ultimately presenting that outside of the traditional investment management process, which I also, you know, play a role in as well in terms of portfolio allocation and more of the stuff around that side of the business. So, you know, I'm kind of wearing, I would say, the same hat, which makes it easier for me because it's not like I'm flipping back and forth working for, you know, both of the, you know, Mark and Rick. doing completely different things. I'm doing the same thing, so, and I'm able to find commonalities and synergies between the businesses and bring them to both Mark and Rick to say, hey, you know, here's what we're doing with Rick, and it's really working well, and vice versa for Mark, to kind of bring best practices with the ultimate goal that we evolve into. You know, this is very new. We've only been a formal team for about 3 months now. So, you know, it's going to, I think, eventually turn into one big ship moving forward, and how to grow the bigger pot versus, you know, growing Rick and separately growing Mark. So that's kind of the lay of the land. But Rick touched on most of the most important things.
And just to, Rob, just to, I mean, now the other partner, Mark Fendrick, he's in Mount Laurel, New Jersey, and he's one of the top producing guys. What is it there? In the whole, not only region, in the whole division.
Yeah, he's at UBS. He's in the top, I think, the top 30 or 40 brokers in the entire country for UBS. And in the Southeast region, which is, you know, about Princeton and Princeton, New Jersey, Newtown, Pennsylvania, pretty much straight down the East Coast, down to Miami. I think he's either number one or number two in terms of, you know, on a revenue basis. He's probably, you know, a little bit above now the $5 million mark. So, you know, collectively between Mark and Rick, we're, you know, over $6 million in production, which, you know, definitely makes us the biggest team in on the East Coast, south of northern Jersey.
Right.
So the other piece, though, I think that might have attracted Dave to even – work with me, as I think, so Dave worked with many different advisors, obviously, in the Philadelphia region with his WPA hat. But I think there was part of it because of the, what's the word I'm looking for? Not scalability, but just the manageability of my business and how we conducted it because of Supernova. Even with his other partner, it's different. I mean, they don't have, I mean, it's a different model that they're using, but obviously he's very, very successful doing that. But I think just in terms of, you know, how we do this and how it's given, and I tell them how important it is because I bought into Supernova because, you know, I think as being a former athlete, you know, you buy into it because it's total immersion. It's about, I really like all that stuff with James Lohr, who was this sports psychologist. But, you know, all those things tie in. And, I mean, Dave's a competitive guy. I'm a competitive guy. I think, Rob, obviously you are. And, you know, these things just flow in. But Dave also has a young family. He has a two-year-old and a newborn baby. So we also want to realize that there's life outside of work.
Wow.
Does that give you a picture of where we stand?
Yeah, that's terrific. Dave, what are your obligations in terms of the firm and what they want to see out of this, and how do we, frankly, protect you in the next couple of years to make sure that you satisfy whatever the firm wants out of you?
Yep, good question. So the good answer to that is the fact that there is nothing anymore required from the firm. So I was in this two-year rotational program called WPA. I quote-unquote graduated or placed out of the program back in May, this past May. So I have no obligations to UBS, the firm. My obligations and how I'm compensated is strictly now through the broader teaming structure between Mark and Rick. So, I mean, UBS does still pay me a stipend, like a salary, but ultimately, it's a waning salary that within the next year and a half is completely zero. So in terms of the firm obligations, there are none. The obligations are pretty much set from, you know, Rick and Mark and obviously myself in terms of, you know, physically, location-wise, which office I'm in, phone calls that I'm on, you know, preparing for client meetings, prospect meetings, all of those things, answering client questions, emails, phone calls, I mean, all that stuff is my obligation, but it's pretty much driven directly from Mark and Rick, and being able to balance the two and, you know, getting the job done, whether it's nights, weekends, whatever I need to do to make sure, you know, I'm not shortchanging either party.
So how have you set up your schedule? Where will you be when? And what are your goals that you need to achieve in terms of of business or accounts or whatever else?
Yeah, so the from a physical location wise, we've at least for the way beginning here that we were going to attempt to do a flexible 1 day a week where I'm going to be in Newtown with Rick, scheduling meetings, you know, meeting people, whether it's centers of influence or clients or prospects. But ultimately, it's our offices are about 30 minutes apart. I'm not like cross country, so it's really whenever the meetings and whether. Whenever that dictates me to be in the office on either side, I can make it work. So there are really no limitations on that. In terms of new accounts, new assets, we did not really set on either side. I did not really set goals in relation to that. The way, again, I plan on bringing business to the table, in terms of year one, in this case, we're 3 months in, it was more related to help me grow my business through our networks and our referral base that we've already established and leveraging me in terms of on the planning side and more of the wealth management services in order to leverage Rick and Mark respectively, leverage their time. And they, I think I can speak probably for Rick in terms of definitely for Mark, he said, I don't want you spending your time running out prospecting to try to find a $1 million client. It's more important that you spend your time helping me service my $10 million clients and make sure we keep retention and bringing in new assets, finding new assets through pretty much the process and the services that I provide.
And, Rob, most of our – I mean, even up to this point, we do a lot of our calls. We just – Dave's – it doesn't matter if he's here in Newtown or if he's in Mount Laurel because we all do them over the phone on most cases. When we're meeting clients, that's when we're just going to be flexible. We're not going to say every Wednesday. We're working on just being flexible as needed to be here when we're meeting face-to-face to do those things.
Okay. So just, Dave, just for your information, okay, having spent almost 45 years now in the business, anytime you are considered staff, okay, you always have to justify your existence. Okay. You're in the honeymoon period where nobody's paying attention to anything and everybody thinks everything is wonderful and everything's going to be terrific. Okay. We go into a recession and they're looking to cut costs. They're going to look at you. Okay. So one of the things you need to do is document everything. You need to justify your existence. Seriously. You got to make sure that you're producing revenues incrementally from the work you're doing, and you got to track it. And you got to show them that this year I produced this much, and next year I increased it by 30%, and 30% the following year, and so forth. Because life is, wonderful, and then life is a hurricane, right? So. You've got to cover your ass. And that's just the way life is. So one of the things that I recommend right off the bat here is to make sure you know exactly what you're producing every day in terms of time, effort, and who you're working on. You have a list of the people you're working on and what you're actually incrementally doing. This will help you dramatically in terms of your own productivity and your conversation with both teams. And I'm not saying they're not terrific guys and they're not going to protect you in tough times and all that stuff. But the best way to protect yourself is to look out for yourself. And I think that you got to do that. And, anytime you're doing something like this, it's a new thing, and people aren't going to know exactly what to expect. And yes, he's doing $5 million and he doesn't care and so forth and so on. But he's still a businessman, and everybody is. And they're going to want to see, was this worth it? So, and I've read your resume. I think you got a terrific resume. But for your own self-image, you got to make sure that you feel as though you're producing and contributing, and it's worth it. Because a lot of what you're going to do is going to feel like really hard work and maybe, you know, minimal incremental revenues. So you're going to really need to keep track of that introduction that you got to that new $5 million client, et cetera. So you're always going to have to keep that out in front in any presentation you make. And you're going to need to do that. You're going to literally need to do a presentation to these teams. And I would practice doing it every week, okay? Practice getting the time in front of the team and say, this is what I did, and this is why I'm worth it. Okay?
I completely agree. And that was one of the recommendations. I from the start, when we kind of left the program, that was exactly what, from a UBS, from, you know, the training people had pretty much said from the start, is that you have to track productivity. And if it's not at least day one, and again, it's not that I'm saying I'm not planning on going out and prospecting and using my network to bring in business, because that certainly is a plan, and how I'm going to help grow the overall business is going to be through that too. But they said in the short term, what they have realized is a lot of the issues, you know, younger people in the business have run into, especially if you're not kind of, if you don't have that hard number of net new assets and revenue that you've brought in, you need to somehow, you know, put a number and a, exactly how you said, track relationships that you've worked on, you know, net new assets you've helped bring in the door, relationships that you've helped, you know, develop, all of those things. And again, I completely agree. And I have been tracking all of those. And I actually, you know, through Rick and Mark separately, I send them updates on, hey, here are the cases that we're working on. We had these conversations. We introduced this. We introduced that. We need to follow up with this. So, you know, I'm tracking in terms of to make sure that business that is developed, you know, it's being developed through, you know, whether it's, you know, directly through me or indirectly through me, that, you know, I'm kind of helping to quarterback that.
Now, Rob, I just want to, now I think you know the players here because, you know Ellen Pierce, right?
Yes, very
Ellen,
well.
Yes. So she is now the, I guess, what is it, Dave, the regional manager for the Southeast?
Yeah, she's our regional manager for New Jersey and Maryland.
So she covers the, but she always was, you know, our regional manager for years. And then, I don't know if you know, you may have, he came over from Merrill, Ted Durkin.
Yeah, yeah.
He is, well, he's now our Philly Complex and Pennsylvania manager, and he's awesome. I'm telling you, this guy is the real deal. So anyway, we had to get the blessings from both of them because, again, the way this team structure is, it's non-traditional. And they both, you know, I think they respected me, they respected Mark, and what we, and then obviously what Dave brings to the table. But the same thing, you know, they all said the same thing. You know, let's make sure that we, you know, look at this so that if things go wrong, you know, 2 years we have a recession. How do we, you know, protect? And everybody's going in with, I think, open eyes on this. But where I see the biggest value from Dave is he's just leveraged for me, Rob. And, you know, one of the things that I think I've done a great job of, I've done a good job of following Supernova, but the one area that I lack is the acquisition side. Where I'm getting acquisitions, but I'm still, and I may, you know, we might have talked about this years ago. I'm still, it's a passive way, not an active way. And it's still something that's uncomfortable for me. Now, honestly though, it's kind of crazy, but with someone else going in with me, it's a little easier. So I have a large network that I've never really approached for business reasons that now, that's my goal, is to be, it's almost like a reset. We haven't talked before, but now I have the capability of expanding, and I'd like to, you know, bring in Dave. We can, you know, talk about business. But that's where I need help. Acquisition in my network. And if I could, you know, just have Dave help with that, I believe there's a lot of opportunity. What are your thoughts on that?
I think it's, you know, you and I are so similar. It's amazing. I was always a better doubles player than I was a single player. And, you know, we're both givers. We give and give and give, yeah, and want to give more. But when we realize that we have an obligation to somebody else, then we become more aggressive, like your doubles partner. I mean, you're going to play harder for your doubles partner than you are going to play in a singles match. You just, you know, it's just your nature.
Yeah,
that's
no, it's like working out. It's like working out with somebody else. You always, when you go to the gym and you're lifting weights, you always lift more when you're lifting with somebody else versus when you're lifting by yourself. It just happens that way.
No, that's exactly right. You know, and a marathon, I ran a marathon. I could never have run that marathon if I didn't have a trainer, you know, a buddy that trained the whole time with me. You know, it just is that, it is what it is. And we're, you know, human beings are that way, but some people are more pronounced that way. There's a book I want you both to read, okay? It's a book by Adam Grant. He's a professor.
I'm reading, I just finished one of his books a week ago.
Give and Take?
No, I read the Sheryl Sandberg and him, I read the Option B.
Okay, good.
But I know him well.
Give and Take, it's called?
Yeah, Give and Take. Yeah, it's basically how givers basically are incredibly successful. And he goes through and gives example after example of, because we tend to think of people that are generous and givers as being people that are taken advantage of, and that they don't necessarily inherit the earth. But in he proves that it works. So it's everything that I've always believed in, but I've never had it quite documented as well as this. And I'm writing a book called The Supernova Multiplier now, which Rick knows about. And in almost all the cases, the success stories that I talk about have this in common, that they are all generous, giving people. And they don't seem to want much in return. They're very just generally good givers.
Right.
And so it's part of, he talks about this concept of other-ish, which is why, when you take, there's three categories that he puts people in: givers, takers, and matchers. And matchers are people that match, you know, I'll give you this if you give me that. Tit for tat. Givers, obviously, are people that give generously. Takers are ones that may give, but they're giving in order to get. They're never going to do something without, you know, they're always looking for the way that they can enhance themselves. So we're all of those things from time to time, but we tend to be dominant, just like in styles, personality styles. We tend to be dominant in one of those styles. And what he talks about is the fact that there's a that the givers are both the most successful and the least successful of people in life. And what happens is givers that continue to give to the point of hurting themselves end up the most unsuccessful. Givers that give but keep in mind that they need to succeed at the same time are the most successful. So I kind of talk about it as giving, but continue to have a commitment to excellence. And when you say, you know, what is excellence? Excellence is in every area of your life, non-discriminating every area. So we commit to be physically, mentally, emotionally strong, and in our business we want to be the best. At the same time, we can be a giver. And that is really the wonderfulness of this process of Supernova, because it's all built around giving and being generous with ourselves, our time, our intellect, etc. But we can only do it for a limited number of people. And so when we bring in somebody like you, Dave, it just leverages everything that we're trying to do. So when we're trying to enhance the lives of our clients, the lives of our clients are dramatically enhanced when you get the quality of a person that's a great planner, that cares and is a giver and is willing to do that. But as all givers, we got to be otherish. other issues means we have to watch out for ourselves. Okay? And that's the part. We can't be naive about life. And so we give, but we also have our commitment to excellence, and we watch our 6 o'clock. All right, so then we end up at the top, but we also end up at the top of life in terms of how we feel about ourselves, the work we've done in our life, and how others feel about us. And it's just a wonderful way. And you think, okay, Rob, what happens if everybody knows about this? What if everybody becomes a giver? I say, God bless the world. I mean, it would be just the most wonderful world that we could ever live in, with everybody giving like crazy in order to get. So everybody becomes more successful because they're all helping each other. And here's one of the key, Rick, in terms of leveraging your network. If you don't think about, and this is what I'm teaching now, and I've been teaching it, and then I read this book, and I went, whoa, yay, this is perfect. but what I've been teaching is networking and getting, you know, when we create our mastermind groups, why do we create it? When we create our centers of influence, what are we supposed to do for them? Well, what we're supposed to do for them is we're supposed to create a network for them. We're supposed to be, you know, on our enthusiastically endorsed list of all the professionals in the community and who are the best at everything. That's what we do. And we introduce people. So, Dave, your job is to create as many meaningful introductions as you can on a weekly basis. And every time you create one of those introductions, you've moved the ball down the field. And that's what we're going to be doing. That's the whole acquisition strategy. Everything that we do is going to be to enhance the lives of our centers of influence, our mastermind groups, our clients, and others. Anybody that we feel is, you know, worthy, we're going to introduce and create this vast network. And the greatest thing is you can do it with LinkedIn now. And LinkedIn is becoming one of the, I mean, it has been, but after reading this book and watching, and I've got a new client that I've worked with who's very smart, very technologically advanced, and he's works on artificial intelligence, and he went to MIT. So anyway, the leverage that he's creating through LinkedIn is really fascinating. So I don't think we have to go and create a whole new world here. I think it's right in front of us. And we just have to ask the question, you know, what's holding you back, Mr. Client? What can I do for you? What are things that are worrying you in your business? You know, what could we do to enhance your business? Who would you like to know? Is there somebody that you knew that would help your business? Is it possible that we could provide an introduction? People are like, wow, that would be great. Hmm. And so that's where we're going, all right? And we'll practice on how these introductions go, and the more personal the introduction, the better, et cetera, et cetera. But we're having terrific luck with it, and we're not – getting much pushback. I told my FA that I've been working with, I said, your job this week is to go out and get a bloody nose. And he said, so he sent me an email back for this week, with his agenda. And he said, you know what? I've been trying to get a bloody nose and I haven't been able to. Everybody's been so nice.
God.
Isn't that great? I mean, it's just amazing. He's actually been really trying to, you know, introduce people and get them to, you know, to listen to him, and they have been, and he said, I've picked up 2 new prospects this week. So it really does work, and I think you can do it at the same time that you're doing all your planning and all the good work you have. In fact, you're going to create such goodwill in these planning sessions that to not, you know, ask the simple questions, you know, who else would value this as much as you have, would be almost not fair to the client.
Yeah.
So
That's the one advantage. Because that's the one thing. Dave is, you know, I think really is ahead of the game and as far as his class, and he gets it, and he communicates very well. And because I've done the planning with the assistance of, you know, different WPAs before, but we take it, I guess, now to a different level. And Dave's good. He's really good at this stuff. And the reaction we're getting, and then has just been so positive. So, but here's my question, Rob. I have a lot of people that, again, in my sort of network, as we talk about, through tennis, through the different things that I do locally in the community, all this other stuff. I never approach for business. And usually, like I said, passively wait for them to ask me. Is it, like, what would you say, like, again, to reintroduce people I've known, but I don't really ask for, you know, let's talk business?
I think what you can do is be interested in their business. And that's what, you know, it sounds kind of crazy, but people always want to tell people about themselves and their business. And for business owners, their business is like their child. And nobody's really interested in it except somebody that wants to sell them something.
Yeah.
If you simply say, you know, I'd love to get a tour of your plant sometime. I said, we have such a good relationship. I don't know much about what you do.
Mm-hmm.
You see, now what did that do?
That just got you an appointment. Instead of me.
Yeah, you just got an appointment, right?
Yeah.
And what are you really interested in? Getting an appointment. That's all you really want. You want an appointment to meet with them, to talk about them, and talk about their business. And guess what they're going to do? If they're a giver, they're going to be generous and ask you about you. If they're a matcher, they're going to say, well, you know, he asked me about my business. I got to ask him about his. And if they're a taker, you probably don't want them as a client anyway.
Yeah.
Good point.
Yeah. Well, that's good stuff. Yeah.
Yeah. So, you know, on these things, on these boards and things, you're going to have people like I was on a board for, you know, for 10 years, and there's the CPA on the board. He and I, you know, really matched up and affiliated. And so we ended up playing golf together and meeting and having lunch. And, you know, we became a client, you know. So it was fun. You know, it wasn't like it was hard. It wasn't like I was straining.
Right.
He and I were going to be good friends anyway. So that's what I would say, is to just take time with them, to be interested in them and ask them about their family and their kids and you know, their work and their business. And that, you know, it's your obligation to ask them about their business. It's not like you know, it's almost as if you didn't care if you didn't ask them about their business. Okay.
Makes sense.
Yep.
So what is your new minimum?
Well, I've always said, you know, I mean, I've kept it at like $1 million. And so my other thing would be that if somebody has 500, but if they have the ability, if they can be there, I've been taking them.
Okay, so here's what we did, and this is probably new to you. Did we have a absolute minimum and a target minimum?
No, because I was like, you know, not really.
You were one of the first guys. So to solve this problem, because you don't want to bring anybody in that's less than the average of your practice, okay? So the average of your practice now would be about, and this is your homework, okay? The average of your practice is right now about $1 million, okay?
Mm-hmm.
So you don't want to bring in anybody that has less than $1 million, because they can't really do financial planning for them. It's not really where you need to work. The same thing is the top 20% of your practice, and I want you to do this too. Look at the top 20% of your practice and see what the average asset size or revenue size is for that group. And that's going to be about $2.5 million.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? So your new minimums are going to be, target minimums are probably going to be somewhere in the order of $2.5 million is what you're going to tell everybody is your minimum. And you will accept something up at a million but not below.
Mm-hmm.
Now, this is how you double your business. You don't double your business by increasing the number of accounts, as you know. The only way you can increase your business now when you maintain the same number of accounts is increase the assets per account.
Mm-hmm.
So you need to bring in 30 accounts over the next 3 years that meet your target minimum of $2.5 million, and you'll double your business.
Mm.
How's that sound?
I like it. And at this point, though, I probably have the connections with those $2.5 million relationships.
Yeah.
It's just really cultivating that.
Yeah. And you've been doing Supernova long enough that you get it, okay? Now's the time. Let's go, okay?
Well, Bob, have you seen, because like I felt, you know, here's the other thing, you know, because I talk to Dave a lot. He hears a lot of my, you know, just philosophies of not only business but life, and I think he connects along the way. And Dave's, you're what, 31, 32?
31.
But these are good life experiences to learn, because I think when Rob, for whatever reason, when I heard Supernova, it fit for me in all the categories, because it did definitely talk about not only, you know, business-wise, but physically, mentally, and spiritually, how we approach our life, and that it's not one way for in business and another way outside of business. It's all encompassed together, and it just makes sense. It's something that it's clicked with me. But anyway, so the other thing is that I believe things happen for reasons. So a couple weeks ago, so Dave and I have been in the, you know, starting this partnership off for the first couple months, and then I get a call out of random, and I, oh, Dave, tell Rob, because then I said, you got to read this book.
Yeah, Rob, he literally had the book on his desk and said, I'm going to give you this book, and he said, you got to read it, and then literally, I think, later that day or the next day, whatever it was, you either emailed him or called him.
Called him.
Yeah, it was like, very freakish, like the timing with everything. And Rick calls me, you'll never believe this. You know, like the book that I gave you yesterday, like the guy that wrote the book, he called me yesterday.
So I do think that things happen for reasons, Rob. And that was meant, I mean, it was just something that, I don't know. And then I said, no, we got to do this. Because I felt like I was plateauing after the first, you know, rush of increasing, you know, growing the business and getting business under control, let's put it that way. But I felt like I was plateauing, so this is probably it's a perfect time, especially bringing Dave on, to re-energize and just do it in a, you know, in a way that we can repeat this.
Well, you and I talked about this, that what great tennis player, what great athlete really has ever operated without a coach?
Right.
And the truth is, we tell ourselves stories, and we can talk ourselves into things, and it when we're alone. But when we have a coach, sorry, game over. Okay,
yeah.
You know,
yeah.
The coach is going to say, you know, frankly, you know, at this point, you should be doing 3 million. Okay,
mm-hmm.
So let's go.
Yeah,
and you're like, holy crap.
Yeah. No,
and that's why people sometimes don't want a coach, because it's like, oh, God, he's going to push me. But you guys are athletes, you know? So, Dave, what sports did you play or sport did you play?
I played basketball, volleyball, and soccer. Quit soccer like midway through high school, but played you know, at a varsity level in high school. Didn't play collegiately at Penn State. I'm not quite of that ilk. I'm still still about 5'11", 160 pounds soaking wet. So I can't say I was a Big Ten Division I athlete, but I played basketball and volleyball at a varsity, you know, at a pretty high level in high school.
That's great. That's great. That's all you need. I mean, just that experience of in loving sports and having had a good experience and knowing that those are some of the greatest, you know, experiences of your life still forever. Just remembering those things and the people you did it with and the coaches you had and the values that were created. I mean, this is what we try and incorporate into our model and reach into those memories and dig in for that, you know, for that energy that we got from those things and translate that into our business, because this is the greatest business in the history of business. It is perfect for athletes. It is perfect for high achievers, because there is no ceiling. There is nobody that can say you can't do this, or somebody that's going to cut your territory or tell you no. I mean, this yep. is the business for achievers. And so the only people that hold us back are ourselves. So all we need to do is get a good coach, and we're off to the races, and then we can just crush it. And that's what we do. I mean, and I see no conflict between being a giver and being an absolute dominator in terms of business.
Good. Well, so, because I probably tilt on, you know, just on that, but I just wanted to, I think you mentioned it earlier, but Dave, giving is not just of giving money, but it's giving of your time, your talents, your treasures, and it's like, it's just that attitude. And I think Dave could see it from, like, just share your experiences with what my client calls and what the client's views of me are.
Oh, yeah. I mean, Rick is already, that's why I said to Rick from the start, I mean, he's already developed such a close relationship with, you know, almost all the clients that I've been on calls with, which is the majority of his book, you know, just how much they respect Rick and look up to Rick and, you know, trust him. I think that's the biggest thing. I mean, the amount of trust that they have in Rick, you know, to do the right things, to provide them with, almost to be somewhat of their coach, you know, both financially and then also kind of with what's going on in their lives, with their kids or grandkids or with their health. You know, so they divulge, and I've sat in meetings with a lot of different clients and a lot of different advisors. But, you know, Rick's clients definitely open up, they trust him, and they feel very comfortable with him. And that's when I've tried to come in and almost introduce, and Rick's been okay with that. I have to ask for Rick's permission, but I started to introduce the, you know, as you had mentioned, Rob, the, you know, hey, is there any other people that are out there that, you know, friends, colleagues, family, that could also benefit from working with Rick and myself and building a similar type of relationship? And, you know, Rick's already developed that trust, and he's also gotten a lot of referrals, and the referrals are, you know, going back to the referral source to say, you know, thank you so much for introducing me. So we have to just continue, you know, and that's when we started to send out letters thanking the referral source, the current client, for bringing someone in for us to sit down with, you know, just kind of, you know, tying some of those loose ends and really focusing on growing the business through established relationships with current clients that, you know, Rick has never, as you said, he's more passive. He hasn't really gone out, you know, asking for business and asking for referrals. And I've kind of been, you know, a little bit more aggressive with that, because I know Rick feels a little less comfortable to say, hey, you know, and we've had great responses. You know, oh, absolutely, we'd love to. You know, well, you know, yeah, and that's where it's really then now working on, are there materials, should we have brochures sent to our clients to tell them when we're growing our business, and, you know, what are the other methods outside of just saying, hey, you know, please refer us to other people? What are other ways to really build up on the momentum that we've already kind of created where, hey, the business is growing, we have established the relationships, we've built the trust, you can see that Dave provides a different, you know, an expanded service that really is what people are looking for today, and between Rick and Dave and his expanded team, more capabilities, higher minimums, we're growing the practice. What are other methods to really push that envelope further?
Isn't that interesting how easy it is to brag about the other guy?
It's unbelievable.
Yeah, see, we are as human beings, we're humble in the sense of, you know, we don't want to ask because we don't often feel as though we are worth it or we're valued.
Yeah.
And yet, you know, Dave looks at you and has seen you and has heard you and sees the client and sees the reaction and goes, basically, you know, guys, you gotta give this guy some more business. You know?
Yeah, that's literally what I'm in a very, diplomatic way saying, like, you guys are effing crazy. Like, you sit in this meeting, like, you should be telling all your friends and all your colleagues that they should be working with Rick. But I don't say it obviously that way, you know, but it's true. It's easy to promote and I'm the same way. I don't promote myself. I'm not good at promoting.
Right, Rick, and yet
I enjoy promoting Rick because I know the value that Rick will bring from a relationship standpoint, and you know I've seen it, and I know I can trust it. So you know that's why it's easy for me to say, hey, client X or prospect X, you know, you need to be working with Rick, and so every other person that you know, and you know we can add a lot of value, and I know we can do you know a better job than probably. Whether you're doing it by yourself or you're using somebody else, you know, I think you'll find true value in what we do. So I'm confident in Rick, and I'm confident in the process and our capabilities. So it's easier to sell the team and Rick and that more than like, hey, you know, come work with me. I'm similar to you.
And that's what I feel too. I mean, I just feel that same, and I think Rob hit it on the head. You know, it's like,
Well, that's what teaming does. See, teams work because of that. Because we're proud of ourselves, and we're proud of our partners, and we're proud of what they do and what they stand for. And we can brag about them, but we have trouble bragging about ourselves. It's so interesting. It's so powerful.
Yeah.
I'm going to leave you with one. Yeah, go ahead.
No, I was just going to say, I mean, like Dave is seeing the results, though, Rob, of the deepening relationships that I have now. And that's clearly because of Supernova. I got to know these clients so much more, not about every phase, and it's because of those constant calls. I mean, the regular calls that we're doing, and that stuff works. So that's where it comes, developing that trust. Because, and I think you might have mentioned that every time we make a call, you sort of like it's another deposit in the bank of trust that they said they're going to call, they call.
Right.
And
exactly.
Well, I give you that credit, and I just, that's where we're at. So I'm trying to position this for Dave. So anyway.
No, it's wonderful. I'm going to tell you a quick story in case you're meeting with a client or somebody, a new prospect or something this week. I had a guy on the island that, where I live in Florida that was, at all different ends and was retiring and didn't really have a good relationship with his advisor. So he asked me if I would spend some time with him and refer somebody. And I did, and he met with them, and I went back to see how it went. And we sat and talked, and he said, they were great, and they can, they're terrific. And he said, but, I think I can do all that myself. And I simply turned to him and I said, yeah, but Kendedra, his wife, I didn't say another word.
Wow.
And he looked at me and said, oh God, you're right. If I wasn't here, she wouldn't know what she was doing. I said, yeah. So isn't that worth it?
Yeah.
And so that he signed up. Okay. So just keep in mind, that these people care deeply about their families. And they may be, trying to cut corners and do things on the cheap themselves. But when it comes to their family, they won't. Okay.
Yeah, that's a quick 30-second story. We had a call last week with clients of Rick's who've been clients probably for many, many years, found out that through just a planning conversation, updating their financial plan, their daughter and son-in-law and their grandchildren just moved down to Houston about a month or two ago. So through that, we got that information. Then we were able to send them an email to say, hey, Joe and Nancy, we're hoping that everything was okay with your family down in Houston, blah, blah, blah. And they were very appreciative of the email. But again, we would have never known that information unless we went through these in-depth, more relationship building conversations to find out, their family and kind of what makes them tick. And they're very close with their grandchildren, and their grandchildren moving to Houston was a very emotional time for both husband and wife, more so for the wife. And, us reaching out to say, with the hurricane and everything, we want to make sure your family's okay. And let us know if we can do anything. Right. It goes a long way.
Yeah, it does. People, that's what they really in the end care most about. All right. So, homework.
Yep.
Read the book, and establish your absolute minimum and your target minimum, and also your maximum number of clients that you're going to have, and then your target maximum. What would you really like to have? Would it, you know, if you have 100, would you love to have 50? So you had more time for family and prospecting and other things. So that's the homework for this week. We're going to follow the chapters, and that's chapter one. And if, Dave, you want to email me, or Rick, either one, but email me the homework. That's the new strategy. Email it ahead of time. I take a look at it, and then we talk. That way I know you're ready for the call the next week, and, you know, we're going to do this every 2 weeks, which is going to be great, I think. I seem to, we then have a nice email correspondence during the week that I've enjoyed a lot, and, you know, you tell me stories, and I come back and give you ideas. So it's not just a once a week talk. I'd be very interested in hearing your progress as the week goes on, and it's okay to read ahead in the workbook. You guys have the workbook and you're all set there, or where are you?
Well, no, we really, I only have the original book. Was there another workbook or something?
Yeah, we've got an updated version. So I'll make sure Cindy has that sent to you, and an updated version of the technology, the scheduler, okay?
Okay, cool.
And if you want to, you know, set up a conference call with her on how to use the scheduler again, that's certainly,
I'm sure.
Happy to do that. Okay, for Margaret, if she needs an update.
Good.
Okay, so I'll pass that along to Cindy, and we'll take care of that from this end.
Good. Now, where are you in Florida, Rob? Are you going to get hit this way? Well, you going home?
Yeah. I'm right now in L.A. With my daughter, but I spend the summers in Indiana, so we're up in – but our place is in Boca Grande on the West Coast, so we may get hit. We don't know.
Yeah.
We get hit by Charlie. And we wiped out our condominium, but
wow!
Oh man!
Yeah, it's kind of crazy. You know, you live in paradise, you take the risk.
Yeah. Well, good luck with all that.
Yeah.
Oh, thanks. Thanks.
We'll talk in a couple weeks.
Yeah.
I'm anxious, though, Rob, really to, you know, take this to the next level.
Yeah, I am too. I think this is great. You've been a favorite partner for me for a long time, and I look forward to it renewed success.
Awesome. And Dave's going to, I can tell Dave's, you know, this connection, it was a gut that we sort of did this non-traditional partnership, but I think it's going to be pretty cool.
Yeah.
It's going to be wonderful. Okay, guys,
bye,
hey, I really enjoyed it. Okay,
bye,
thanks.
Yeah.
Bye-bye. Mm-hmm.